Sometimes when we plant things, we get a harvest we don't expect. I still remember the first time my dad planted a garden. I was 8 years old, and we had just moved to a new house outside Cleveland with a much bigger backyard than our previous home. My dad took advantage of some of that space to grow vegetables. I remember tomatoes and squash and peppers, and there were probably some other plants too. But what I remember best were the green beans. That spring, my dad planted 5 rows of green bean seeds, not really realizing what he was getting us into. By summer, the first beans were ready to pick, and we enjoyed eating them. And then the beans just kept growing and growing and growing. We had beans for dinner, beans in soup. We gave them away to our friends, our neighbors. We froze bags and bags and bags of them. When school began in the fall, the beans were still growing. When my mom would send my sister and me out to pick green beans every day after school, until the frost finally zapped the plants in late October. From the seeds my dad planted in spring came a harvest more abundant than we ever, ever could have imagined. And as a side note, my dad has planted many other gardens. I don't remember him ever planting green beans again. Abundance is a key theme in the parable that Marilyn just read for us. In this simple story of seed falling on different kinds of soil, one of the key messages was the abundant harvest produced by the seed that landed in good soil, an abundance that more than compensated for the seed that was lost in the other areas. In this parable, we hear important instructions for sowing the word of God and a powerful promise that God is faithful and God's abundant harvest is assured, even when the path is crooked or rocky or full of problems. Parables were a popular and well-established way of teaching in ancient Israel. Ancient parables were metaphors that used familiar elements to share an important truth. They captivated the attention of listeners because they started with something they knew well, and then usually included an unexpected twist or strange situation. Part of the purpose of parables, according to New Testament scholar C.H. Dodd, was, quote, leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to provoke it into active thought, end quote. In other words, Jesus taught in parables in order to nudge his disciples and the crowds to think more deeply about something specific. Today's parable is one that appears in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with only small variations. The authors of Mark and Luke referred to it as the parable of the seed or the parable of the soils. But Matthew drew our attention to the person planting the seed by giving it a slightly different name, the parable of the sower. The parable itself is simple. A sower tossed out seeds onto the ground where it landed on different kinds of soil. Some of it landed on a footpath winding through the fields, and the birds quickly ate it up. Some landed in shallow soil over rocky ground. That seed sprouted and grew quickly, but when the hot sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered away because they had such shallow roots. Some of the seed landed in patches of thorns, and the thorns grew and choked out the plants. And some landed on good soil, where it took root, grew, and produced a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as the original seed. To the crowds following Jesus, the basic concepts of this story would have been familiar. They would not have been surprised that the sower just tossed out the seed. Today, farmers carefully prepare and till and fertilize the soil before they plant anything. But in ancient Israel, the practice was to throw the seed out and then till it and then plow it up. The sower would have expected some of the seed to be lost in the process. This was just a normal part or a normal risk of sowing seed in this way. But the harvest more than compensated for any seed that was lost. A normal yield for an ancient field was between 10 and 12 times what was planted, although sometimes harvests yielded much more. The twist in this parable came in the abundance of the harvest. 30, 60, or 100 times what was planted was amazing and far beyond what the sower would have hoped for. God's harvest is extravagant in its abundance. This parable is sometimes misunderstood, which is not all that surprising. Remember, parables are intended to challenge the listener. Jesus himself, at the start and end of the parable, urged the crowd to listen, to dig deeper, to probe beneath the surface. It would be easy to assume that this parable is about sorting people into categories, the bad soil and the good soil. It would also be easy to assume that the parable is instructing us to work harder to make sure all of the seed falls on the best soil possible in order to earn a bigger harvest. But both of these interpretations miss a key point. The sower was not one of the disciples or a member of the crowd or any of us. The sower was the Son of Man himself. The harvest is assured because it is God's doing. God is faithful. God is with us. And the sower intentionally threw out the seed far and wide, knowing some of it would not land on soil that enabled it to thrive. And yet this generous, even reckless sowing of seed produced a bountiful harvest no one could have imagined. And with that image, Jesus left most of the crowd scratching their heads, trying to figure out what this parable meant and how it related to their lives. It was not until later, when he was alone with the disciples, that he gave them the additional gift of understanding when he explained the meaning of the parable. The parable was an allegory for Jesus' ministry. The sower was the Son of Man, and the harvest was the result of God's generosity, not any specific work of human hands. Jesus was painfully aware of the challenges he was facing in his ministry when he shared this parable. The parable of the sower is sandwiched between two stories of opposition to his ministry and to the good news. By sharing this parable, Jesus was communicating to his closest followers that the rejection of his message and ministry did not mean the message was wrong or their efforts were in vain. Like seed falling on inhospitable soil, opposition was a fact of life for Jesus and his disciples, a reality that eventually led to a cruel death on a cross outside Jerusalem. And the community that was Matthew's audience, first hearing this parable, were also living through challenges. Persistent poverty, massive numbers of people migrating out of Syria, persecution by the Roman authorities, and numerous dissenters and false prophets trying to turn them away from following Jesus. And although our modern world today is very different, the path to following Jesus can still be challenging. We have our own dissenters and false prophets who take the gospel message and use it to justify actions that are far from the love of Jesus, excluding certain people or groups because of their identity or family or income, or using scripture to make the wealthy feel good about themselves and marginalize the poor. A key message of this parable was to encourage the disciples and all of us in moments of doubt and struggle by reminding us that in God's kingdom, God promises a harvest beyond all of our expectations and maybe even our wildest dreams, no matter how difficult the path to get there. But providing encouragement was not the only purpose of this parable. Jesus also shared it to explain to the disciples and us why people's response to his gospel message varied so greatly. Regardless of how good the seed and how caring the sower, some seed will fall on ground that won't allow it to grow. And yet the sower is not overcautious in sowing the seed only where the chances of growth are the best. Instead, he threw out handful after handful, relentlessly, indiscriminately, on all kinds of soil, trusting that some of the seed would take root and grow. Remember also that it's not always possible to tell at a glance which soil is good and which is not. The soil that covered the rocky places appeared good. It was not until the seed began to sprout that it became clear that soil wasn't deep enough to support the roots needed for the plants to thrive. This parable is an invitation to us to cast the seed of God's love far and wide, beyond the usual places we visit. We tend to spend most of our time with people who are a lot like us. We work side by side with people with similar skills and backgrounds. We live in neighborhoods with others whose income is similar to ours. We worship and study the Bible with people who look like us. And yet we are called to go beyond what's nearby, what's comfortable, what's familiar, to reach those who might not know of God's love otherwise. For some of us, that might look like demonstrating God's love by going to an unfamiliar city or country to help build houses for people who need safe and stable places to live. For others, it may look like showing up at co-op food distributions or delivering meals to the elderly. Sharing God's love can take many, many forms. And this parable reminds us to be bold, to throw seed in unexpected places, and to rely on God for the harvest. And sometimes the harvest might not look like we expect. When I lived in Minneapolis, my very favorite volunteer activity was helping deliver Meals on Wheels. My church had played an active role in the program for many years, and when I signed up, I was assigned to two Tuesdays a month. On those days, my driver, Bob Hackett, and I picked up meals and our delivery list and made the rounds to neighborhoods around the church. He got us to each house. I was the runner who took the food to people's doors. One of my biggest joys was getting to know Bob, a member of the church who was retired, whom I knew only very slightly before we started working together. We had fantastic, meandering conversations about everything you can imagine, and we laughed a lot. Spending time with him was a real bright spot in my weeks. The other unexpected joy were the people receiving the food. Our route was the same each week, so over time I began to recognize the people we delivered to. Some preferred to have the food left on their doorstep or simply took the delivery with a quick thanks, but others enjoyed chatting for a few minutes. My favorite was Mr. Clayson, a gentleman in his late 80s or 90s who had lived in Minneapolis all of his life. It turns out he and I had graduated from the same small Minnesota college, Carleton, many, many decades apart. Once he discovered that, he greeted me every time with, "Well, hello, Carleton." And the joy he shared as he told me about his years of work as a high school teacher was infectious. Delivering Meals on Wheels ended up being one of life's unexpected joys for me. It was a reminder that when we faithfully scatter seeds of God's love, we don't get to choose where they take root, but we can trust God to bring forth a harvest beyond anything we imagined. God's good news is shared not because of what we do or who we are, but because of who God is and what God is doing in our world. Our charge as followers of Jesus the Messiah is to labor alongside the one who sows the seeds and promises the harvest. For we are not alone, even in challenging times. The reality is that some of our seed, sometimes a surprising amount, will fall on soil that does not allow it to grow. Not all of our efforts and projects and ideas will bear fruit. That doesn't mean our ideas were bad or our efforts were not worthwhile. And it definitely doesn't mean we need to get bogged down in finding the perfect place, the perfect situation, the perfect people before we begin to share God's love. We're called to scatter seed freely without worrying about where it lands, because the harvest belongs to God. There's a well-known quote by Canadian farmer and author Nelson Henderson. He said, quote, "The true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit," end quote. Most of the time, we will never know where or when sharing God's love will bear fruit, and we may not be present to see it happen. But we know that God's extravagant love is beyond our understanding and our control, and we can trust that God will bring about the harvest in God's time. In the middle of our messy, scary, crazy world, God is sowing the seeds of love and justice and equity. And no matter how dark or difficult things seem, no matter how inhospitable the soil appears, some of those seeds will fall on fertile ground and will yield an abundant harvest. This is the truth of grace in a damaged world. Just as the sower casts the seed widely and accepts that most of it won't fall on fertile ground, it's our job to keep on sowing God's love and trust that God's abundant harvest is coming. And we give thanks to a God of extravagant love for the fruitful growth that leads to the harvest. Amen.